the Unaffordable Care Act and what it's doing to people fits into what was done back in the 1700s. Mm. So there's your little tease.
Very
so that'll be 9 to 10 on Saturday right here on 1180 AM WFYL H2O.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, anyway, my name is Andrew Turner.
And I'm Bruce Stocking.
And I'm Corinne Lillis.
And we want to welcome you to the program this morning. Of course, you are streaming us right now. And we
maybe
welcome
you're streaming
that.
From your phone, from or your iPad, from your laptop.
From anywhere. That's
Bruce, right. What's your favorite form of device?
My favorite form of device is, is it legal? I don't know. it's not one of these electronic gizmos that you young folks have.
That's true. Yeah, Bruce has the self-proclaimed dumb phone.
Hey, I got long distance now. I tied an extra long string on my tin can.
There you go, yeah.
Mm. What about your tinfoil helmet? Very is it extra nice.
I'm getting the 2015 model.
Wow.
Oh.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes.
Advanced.
Yes.
same weather type of morning, kind of like yesterday. But we'll see what the rest of the day holds for us.
Well, you know, the adage with the weather, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it'll change on you. But not so much. We're kind of in a pattern here, but by, I think it's Sunday, you're going to see a little
bit. We're in a hold pattern.
Yeah, in a hold pattern. Right now, it's 28 degrees and cloudy out there. The high today is going to be about 35 and sunny. Winds are generally going to be about 5 to 10. We have no rain in the forecast today. Tonight's low will be 25, but it'll be clear. So
which means it's colder.
Yeah, pretty simplistic for today. Tomorrow, Friday, the high is going to be about 36, and it'll be a mostly sunny day. Again, no rain in the forecast. The low, though, on Friday night is only going to be 16. And, of course, clear skies with that. So it allows any heating radiation of the day to just go out into the atmosphere. Mm. On Saturday, the high is going to be about 23. It'll be sunny. The low is going to be about, the high is going to be 32. The low is 23.
I was going to say, the low was 32, man, too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad, but 32 is freezing.
Right.
Got to keep that in mind. There's really no rain in the forecast, a slight 10% chance, and that's nothing. On Saturday night, few clouds in the area Saturday night, but come Sunday, the high goes to 42, and there is a 90% chance of rain. Now, the low will be 32. The rain will begin to mix a little bit with snow, ending overnight. No accumulation expected. But Sunday will be a day where we're going to deal with some precipitation in the area. But nothing to go running out to buy your makings for French toast, your milk, your butter, and your eggs and all that.
Right.
Right now, the report is a rainy snow mix ending overnight. No real accumulation whatsoever.
I want a blizzard.
That's for Sunday.
I want a nice big blizzard.
That would be fun.
Okay, I'll
the look, kind
I'll,
you eat.
Let me.
Just
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah. I think the Dairy Queen near us.
They're not too bad.
You have to go to one of those year-round Dairy Queens.
Yeah, you got to go one of the strip mall kind, not the standalones.
Yeah. So there it is. That's the weather that we have.
Wonderful. Well,
it's
thank you very
all
much,
all
Bruce,
too bad
for that.
This time of year?
No, not too bad at all. Have you noticed that we've had a mild winter so far?
Yes, you've ever heard of knock on anything like that. You know, it's like I said, the snow that we got a week ago or something like that, that's the type I could handle. But I think
but drivers can't because it took me 2.5 hours to get to work.
Well, snow flurries, some drivers can't handle it. I think we will end up with at least a snowfall. Yeah, I don't think we're going to go through unscathed, but I think it'll be minimal at best. At least that's my hope.
We got to put bets on this or something. Anyways, is it verse time?
We'll put some bets on it first, and then we'll do verse time.
You bet it's verse time.
I think we'll have a blizzard. I'm just hoping for a blizzard, so I don't know. But
Reese's
anyways.
Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Deliver one later. Thank you. Anyways, we'll continue here with a verse. This is from Romans chapter 2, verse 13, and it says, "For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight." And I think this applies with our relationship with God, but also our relationship with one another, whether it's your parents, a significant other, whoever. If you just kind of listen, but you're not following through, if they give you, I don't want to say advice, but if they
guidance.
Tell you, like, you need
guidance?
To do this guidance, yeah, if you have a mentor.
Partnership, after all.
Or whoever. you know, if you're not listening to them repeatedly and you're just kind of doing your own thing and damaging that relationship, I mean, there's going to be consequences
to that. If you're listening but not actionable.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. What is it? If you're hearing but not actually listening, or is it the other way?
Well, you know, what is the little phrase that I use? Eyes the see and ears the hear. If both are closed, nothing's accomplished.
Right. If you're not actually taking it to heart and considering it, then you might be doing yourself a disservice. So, you know, taking things with a grain of salt, but also
well, there are times with folks that, you know, they get so locked in their minds on something that they will not, in fact, they become so close-minded that they don't listen to other opinions and, you know, advice or anything like that. They proceed ahead, and what happens? That's the person that drives at full speed, doesn't look where they're going, and slam into a wall every time. Mm. Is that, you know, usually if people give advice, it's because they care.
Yeah. So applying things like this to your life, you know, whatever advice you get or, you know, discerning whether it's useful for you or not. But this is from Romans chapter 2, verse 13. I'll read it one more time. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. And obviously nobody's perfect. We all stumble, and that's part of
the
process. So, but putting into practice what we've been learning and helping each other out through our walks. So just a verse from Romans.
Sure. Sure. Well, thank you very much for that, Corinne.
Yes, absolutely.
As always, we have a nice show planned for you. It seems like our slow news cycle has
it's
slowly turning. Once Congress comes back, I feel like the world starts to the news starts to wake up.
Didn't I say that the day that the new Congress started? Let the games begin.
Right.
And
it's just sad the type of news that we've been.
Well,
the news
lately.
Of today is mostly terrorism.
Yeah, it's the terrorism
not
thing.
Happy.
And we've said this many, many times. In fact, on Tuesday, tried to keep things a little upbeat and find some good things to talk about. But yeah, there is so much negative in the world. It's you need to be aware. You don't need to be obsessed, but you need aware of what's going on. Pointing out the various things that are there, yeah, and we do point out a lot, and others do as well that do talk radio. They point out what is taking place and what is done because it's an education process that folks need to wake up. They need to see and not vote for a person because they're cool, because they're unique and a first. They need to vote on a person that has character, morals, and values. And that those character, morals, and values match with that of you. We have a lot of buyer's remorse going on in this country right now for the chief executive that they put in not once but twice.
I just saw a poll last night. I think we'll talk about it today at some point. But they said that most voters want some kind of action on the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah. I've got that, and I've got some of the numbers from that.
And
as
you know,
well.
It's. I know we don't like polls, but it seems like it's not just a Fox News poll. It's a couple of different places
Fox,
are reporting
the poll on that was done by Fox News, but nevertheless,
there are other polls out there.
I have the Fox one because that
Wonderful.
Was easiest
yeah.
to get. But you look at the polling that has been taking place, and it's been kind of consistent now, and it's getting to the point where even those on the Democratic side are feeling the same, except for those that are really out there in space like Nancy Pelosi and so forth.
Well, I we've got a few minutes here. I'd just like to ask your opinion on what kind of perception you have. Bruce, you might have some more insight into this, into just a political process. But in your lifetime, how many times were something, you know, they tried it out, they there was action, they decided to do something, and then they went, you know, we either need to stop doing this or we need to fix how we're doing it.
Well, one that comes right to mind, and it wasn't during my lifetime, it happened before me, surprise, surprise, Prohibition.
Right. Mm. Right.
You know?
So they realized that they were wrong.
Sure.
Or that's not what the people wanted.
Right.
And that they might as well reverse their stance
on
that.
Well, and then you take a look at a situation. John Adams, one of the first violators of the Constitution, he created the Alien Sedition Act the Sedition Act end of it, which was, you cannot publish anything negative about the president as you get locked up. And a fellow by the name of Callender did so because he was a friend of Jefferson's. Jefferson comes in the office, and it's immediately, man, this is a bad idea. And he got rid of it because of the Constitution violation.
Right.
Yeah.
There was another president that tried to invoke such a thing in a little bit milder case. It was our first progressive president. Do you know who that was?
That would be, it is, where's that Hillary Clinton quote? Woodrow Wilson?
Yes, it was Woodrow Wilson.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you remember because I had mentioned that before, but you remember that. So, there are things, and there's an adage when work is an adage in a lot of things is that if you try something and it doesn't work, 'tis better to have tried that and it didn't work than never to attempt it at all. Because if you're trying, things can work. You can always fall back and reflect on why it failed and do it better. So there's learning in failure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got to head to a commercial break. We'll be right back with more It's a New Day coming up right after this. Stay right there. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. 20 minutes past the hour. Just about 20 minutes past the hour. We want to thank you once again for joining us this morning on your streamers out there that we have. We were just mentioning in our last segment before we went to break about the Keystone Pipeline and any kind of action that we can take as far as that goes.
Well, the poll's also going
right
on this one. In fact, this is a Fox News poll, and it's an exclusive to them. They get all the credit on this one. Is that the poll that I have here, they did a poll about should Obama sign the Keystone Pipeline? And it says most Americans of all political stripes support construction of the long-delayed Keystone Pipeline oil pipeline and want President Obama to sign legislation approving it. That was according to the Fox News poll. Mm. And the poll goes on to say a 65% majority say Obama should sign the Keystone legislation. That includes an 82% of Republicans and 60% of independents and 52% of Democrats that were polled.
Hmm.
Now, you got to keep in mind, though, with the polls, they went through polls, not just Fox, everything else, even with the Unaffordable Care Act, but yet they just still jammed that down people's throats. And it's the old fact of listening. Overall, only 22% of the voters think the president should veto it. Only 22%.
Why would people want him to veto it? Don't even see why they.
You know what gets me on some of these polls too?
Like wasting money.
What's really telling too, and they didn't have it in this one, is that in any polls that you see that they publish in that they have for, against, and just don't know, and the numbers in the just don't know can be staggering at times.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, how can people go about, especially when their money is involved, and I don't know. I don't have an opinion. You know, it's, wow. Things like that really may have our work cut out, but then again, you want to listen. Now, let me throw this in, and I've been doing this last week, too.
Throw it in.
Is that the president is going on, I guess, a veto happy now versus his punch drunk with executive orders. Is that he says he's going to veto the pipeline bill. He's going to veto anything against the immigration thing that they come across. Basically, he's going to veto anything that has come through both chambers and land on his desk. That, it's like I said yesterday with that meeting he had with the majority leaders in the House and the Senate. It basically came out to, hey, it's my way or the highway, guys. Yeah, mm-hmm. You do things my way, we'll sign it. And so I think the American people need to stand up. The representatives are pushing things through and that, but it's the White House that is now the do-nothing and versus Harry Reid, the protector, is gone for Obama. So call the White House and demand that he signs the pipeline. I have questions with the pipeline, but demand that he signs the legislation for that because and we have an interview coming up that deals with, here in Pennsylvania, the
petroleum
severance tax.
The severance tax
that the governor elect Wolf wants to put in, so that's going to fall in as well. But call the White House, voice your opinion about him signing the bill, and maybe even the immigration bill and some of the other things. The White House phone number for such things is area code 202 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. That is the people's house. He is elected to represent the people. The people need to let him know. I know he may not listen, but you need to let him know. And you need to call the White House or email them. You can go to their website and email and let them know. Do the right thing for Americans. The reservation I have with the pipeline, who will they hire to do the work?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is it going, you know, if it's going to be set up for the illegals can come in and do it, not good. If it can be. If
see, but I feel like if it was set up for that, he wouldn't be vetoing it.
Oh, sure he would. Sure he would, because he's leaning towards his environmental base people. And like that, you know, he does not listen. We have a total.
Well, the environment has to stay good so he can keep golfing.
Yeah. Yeah. Either that or as Gary Porter puts out, watching Dancing with the Stars or watching.
Was that his favorite show?
No, he was just brought that up at the Constitution thing about people that watch that rather than understand what's going on in the world. You know, doing brackets and going on vacation and things like that. So
I want to just point out, not to say that you shouldn't be doing those things, but I think we've had verses here before that Corinne has said that have been, you know, the importance of civic duty in your faith, and even outside of civic duty in your faith, I would still say that, you know, you still need some civic duty.
Well,
even if you're not a
faith. And it's very simple with the Constitution.
You got to pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah, you know? It's very simple with the Constitution. It's we the people. That's what it starts with.
Well, because this is most of the time folks will say, like, oh, I can't stand those guys. You know, I don't like politics. Yeah. You know,
well,
we don't have to like politics.
Who does?
Right.
Yeah.
But you've got to like your well-being, your financial security, and things
right.
like that. And
right.
Now, let me give you a little context with it. The support for the Keystone Pipeline has held steady for years. 68% of the voters backed it at the end of 2014, 70% in 2013, and 67% in 2012. So this isn't a flash in the pan, folks.
Right.
This is something.
Slow burn.
Right.
Simmer.
And then you've got to look at the fact that you've got some of these elected employees here that think that gas prices are going down. The pipeline will severely help, and I mean that in a positive way, severely help keeping those gas prices down. And now they go, well, you know, if gas prices are down, then we can raise the federal gas tax because the consumer can absorb it more. Why is it when you get a dollar in your pocket, they want two?
Right, absolutely.
And you can't get ahead when you have a government that is constantly working against you and no accountability of funds with them. And
you know what, I've mentioned it before, too, of being, you know, depends what we're getting out of that. You know what I mean? If you're going to raise a tax, then and I see a direct result of that raising of a tax, then that's understandable. However, I think everyone is so jaded to the fact of taxes right now, we don't see the benefit in a lot of things. And there are a lot of benefits to taxes.
Well, let's face it. Am I going to go into the store of Andrew, give you money for a product, and walk out without the product?
Right. Exactly.
Or knowing where your money would be going if you wanted to endorse it.
Well, that's
something.
The thing with investment.
Well, and that's what you're talking about
invest,
with accountability, fiscal
right.
accountability.
And with any investment, you want to know where it's going and what your return will be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with the federal government, you don't know where it's going. You don't get a return on it. And now with the Unaffordable Care Act, you may not get a return at all if you don't have insurance when you file on the 15th.
Well, that certainly is true. And I think fiscal accountability is something that we always ring on because it's true in our own lives.
Well,
so
we have to.
As a hiring manager, we should hold our employees to a higher standard.
Well, come on, Andrew. According to this Obamanomics and the way this government is designed to work, is that if you take in $100,000, go ahead and spend $500,000. That's progress. That's the way we grow. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I can't figure that out. You know? I can't figure that out. Even on a bad day, I can't figure that out.
Yeah, it's tough math. It's understandable. It's tough
I guess it has to do with Common Core math, and nobody likes or understands that.
You didn't go through Common Core.
No, I've seen enough of it to scare me away. I think they should actually make a thing on the Sci-Fi Channel about it.
Scary, spooky stuff.
Yeah.
We've got to head to a commercial break. We'll be right back with more It's a New Day right up after this. Stay right there. Good morning, and welcome to It's a New Day. If you're listening on your radio dials, for all of you streaming at home on your tablets, smartphones, and computers, welcome back to It's a New Day. It is 34 minutes past the hour on this, the 15th day of January. Happy Thursday to everybody out there. We're going to lead with our top story today, which would be...
Well, there's a bunch of them.
Right.
But, yeah.
Let's just call it Islamic extremism.
Well, let's just say it is a wholesome amount of inherent evil in the world today.
Yeah.
From ISIS to Boko Haram, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So, Bruce, why don't you take us through
that? Let's start with the enabling of evil to exist. Overnight, as you were slumbering in your beds with visions of sugar plums dancing in your head, the administration released five more from Gitmo. And these are individuals that were held at Gitmo that have been released. As we know, in the past, there's at least some that have been released that are now actively recruiting for ISIS.
Well, and the deal was when Obama had released the five previously. When was that? Back in...
It wasn't long ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't long ago.
But weren't we going to track them and make sure they weren't up
Never
to no
happened.
Good? Yeah.
I Never mean, happened. They were going
Why
to Qatar, Qatar, whatever you want to call that place. And they were...
Qatar.
Yeah. They were going to monitor. Never did. And they're sending them over to Yemen. And where did the vermin that attacked in France come from? Yemen.
So why did we release five more?
Because this president and his ideology of closing Gitmo, and that the fact that he claimed, I think back in 2013, that the war against terror is over. That's his thought on this. This is...
Yeah, it really doesn't seem like it's over.
In my mind, this opens having five released last night, not far off of the heels of what's happened in Europe and Paris. Might just explain why Obama did not attend or send anybody to the Paris rally in March.
How do other countries feel about him releasing these people? Do they comment?
The fact is they're commenting on the fact that he didn't show up for the solidarity or send anybody to the solidarity. Now on this one, this just happened last night, so we haven't heard anything from it. But you can only imagine what they're thinking.
That word.
You know, this is we are at war. This administration, this president refuses to call it Islamic extremism, jihadist, anything like that. We're at war. He will not admit he's at war with it. He will not identify the problem. You cannot fight an enemy if you do not identify that enemy. And he refuses to do this, and yet he throws more back into the field for battle, and this is aiding and abetting.
Mm-hmm.
And in any other country, this guy would have been hauled out of there in shackles by now and charged for treason. This is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. You want more incredibility? Let's take a look at what Duke University has caved in doing. Duke University, starting on Fridays now, will be playing from their chapel tower Muslim call to prayers.
What?
Just on Fridays?
That's when their call for prayer is. My question is...
Muslim call for prayers twice a day.
My question is... Are they going to play the Lord's Prayer from the tower? Are they going to do on Friday nights and
Jewish?
Well, this is what it said on the story just came out on this one.
No. But you know what I'm saying? Like they pray twice a day.
Why do it at all?
Right, but they pray twice a day. So why just Fridays?
Yeah. But why do it at all?
Right.
I'm just saying, like one day a week. It's like being like, all right, Duke University is now holding Mass on Tuesdays.
But why do it at all?
Well, here's the problem, though. If they start doing that, then are they going to start playing the Lord's Prayer and other one? I mean,
yeah, I think they should.
Do they do anything now?
No. Well, you know, it's usual they have a chapel.
And this
there.
Is
they
at,
have
I don't know. I don't go to Duke. I don't know much about it. Do they play anything?
Well, you
got to
remember
any other religions right now.
You
got
to remember that Duke University also put the kibosh on a person that wanted to come and talk about why abortion is bad. So you know, this is what your money's paying. Your exorbitant amount of money is paying for this to go on. So,
well, look, if you don't agree with it, don't go to Duke.
This is a story that's just developing. I'm sure there'll be some more on it. This was a headline of today. So I wanted to hit those two out there and get them out there because you're going to be hearing about these two definitely today. Now, there was another disturbing situation that took place in Nigeria, a village in Nigeria. Did you see the satellite pictures?
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah. We talked about this briefly on Tuesday here on It's a New Day, but...
We talked about it briefly 6 months ago, too.
It's not good. It's getting worse. I think it's a lot worse than people realize because it hasn't been talked about. I mean, this group has kind of been forgotten.
Bring everybody
about.
Up to speed.
I was going to say, enough build
up. Bring everybody up to speed with this. Amnesty International has released a satellite image that it says show a widespread destruction in two Nigerian towns attacked by Boko Haram last weekend. And you look at the pictures, it's an aerial picture, like one of these Google satellite things that show the town, and then you see a decimated town and running rampant. And so, you know, we take a look at, there was a report last week of, how many was it? I don't recall offhand.
5,000.
5,000. That these animals, excuse me, they're not animals, these vermin have taken out. And so...
And that was just this year. Last year, they killed 10,000.
Yeah, yeah. So. And still, this president and his administration still cannot bring themselves to call this vermin, these creatures, jihadists, Islamic extreme terrorists. And I'm sure that a lot of Americans feel the way I do, is that we should just... turn our military loose and out. You know, without the political correctness that these politicians want to throw into this thing, and that, and let them do their job and take this vermin, this evil out. Other countries will join us now.
Now, remember, Boko Haram was the terrorist group that attacked the mall in Nairobi.
Right.
Back... it was right about this time last year. I think it was February or March of last year.
Yeah.
And then what they did is they went back in, and I think it was last May when everybody was talking about illegals coming into the country. There was a brief 30-minute discussion in the news about bring our girls back. Do you remember that? Bring our girl. Hashtag bring our girls back.
Oh, yeah. Even Michelle Obama got into that one.
Right. And where has that gone?
Yeah, nowhere.
Right? Have we... in fact, gotten those girls back?
Well, what has happened is that the drone commander in chief allowed a drone mission to hit, and at that time, the leader of Boko Haram was killed. But whenever you take out a leader, there's always another one to take their place, and it's one of these things that, you know, in this type of venomous atmosphere they create. They're going to cut each other's throat to get the high job anyhow, so there's always another one waiting to fill the void.
Right. I doubt they're super, super nice to each other anyway. Yeah. So,
but yet, if you don't identify what the enemy is, how can you take out that enemy?
So what do you think that the United States should do to take care of Boko Haram?
I would simply say identify the fact that it is a war against these radicals, these Islamic jihadists. Let the military do their job without the PC aspect of it.
And do you think we need your favorite line, boots on the ground and also air?
There is, well, we're showing right now airstrikes don't really work. Remember I gave an analogy in, maybe last year about the old adage with artillery. Is that artillery was always felt that you start off with an artillery barrage to weaken the enemy's position, and then you go into attack and you take them out. It's a psychological thing. It doesn't physically work all the time. I mean, there are many things in history to cite that. I mean, the Confederates at Gettysburg in 1863 did a two-hour artillery bombardment of the Union lines, but were not able to totally breach and take that line. We look at what took place at Normandy. We had airstrikes. We had... you know, seacoast artillery from battleships and that firing in, softening up position, and they were still entrenched and in there. It's going to take, and it does not help when you have a commander in chief that's going to get on TV and talk tough about this and says he's launching airstrikes, but here's what we're not going to do. Once again, this president has aided and abetted the enemy because I'm not going to hit this building, but I'm going after this building. So why? What am I going to do? I'm going to take all my assets out of that building they're going to hit. Go ahead. Take out an empty building. Mm-hmm. And hitting targets that aren't important targets. Okay, you get a pickup truck that might have a machine gun on the back or a grenade launcher on the back. Great, fine. But, you know, when you look at something like that, you look at the price of the missile that took it out versus the truck and what it is, does it balance? No. It's not an effective use of our arsenal and what we have. And I don't think it's intended to be. It's a show. Well, see, we're doing something. Well, Americans just don't do something. We do a job and we do it well. And we're hindered right now.
And do you think that Boko Haram is a threat to the U.S.?
Sure. Sure. Any of the Islamic extremist jihadists have a war against everybody that is not them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, look at ISIS. They're JV. Don't worry about them. Boko Haram, don't worry about them. Now look at it. Now look at it.
Yeah, I think we should be
for evil. Edmund Burke, for evil to exist in the world, good men must do nothing. I paraphrase. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a prime example of it.
This is a good example of that.
A prime example of it. Because we don't want to offend. Well, here in America, when you have a 9/11, over 3,000 innocent Americans butchered, I'm offended. And I'm not going to talk nice about him because I'm offended.
Yeah, coming up in our next segment, we have an interview with Stephanie Wissman. She's the executive director of the Associated Petroleum Industries of Pennsylvania. So stick around for that here on It's a New Day on 1180 AM. WFYL. We'll be right back after this little commercial break. Right now we are interviewing Stephanie Caterino Wissman, the executive director of the Associated Petroleum Industries of Pennsylvania. Welcome, Stephanie, to our program this morning.
Thank you, Corinne and Bruce. It's great to be here.
Well, Stephanie, if I could ask you straight out in the beginning here, of course, one of the biggest problems that here in Pennsylvania we're facing with the petroleum industry is the governor-elect Tom Wolf and his proposal for a severance tax. Could you bring our listeners up to speed exactly what that is?
Sure. What that is, this is yet another tax that is being proposed on our industry. Currently, the oil and natural gas industry pays a local impact tax that was a result of Act 13 of 2012 in Pennsylvania, and that is on each shale well that has been drilled in Pennsylvania. And that local impact tax since 2012 has raised over $630 million that's going back to counties and local municipalities to assist them with any impacts that they are realizing from the natural gas industry. And in addition to that, our industry also pays corporate income taxes, just like every other business in Pennsylvania. Our industry has paid over $2.1 billion since 2007 in corporate business taxes. So a severance tax would be yet another layer of taxation that would be put on our industry.
Now, of course, the bottom line with this is that, of course, whenever you put another tax on something, that's going to increase the price of things. And since gas prices, for example, are going down right now, it's good for the consumer, the middle class, the lower class individuals that need that energy to continue through. So what would be, besides the fact of, oh, yeah, it's nice to send it back to various places for impact in that, what is the real driving force behind this? Do we know?
The driving force behind the proposal of the tax?
Yes.
Driving force. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's ideology or what the real driver is, other than the fact that the Commonwealth is $2 billion in the hole. They have a structural deficit of $2 billion, and they're looking to raise money, obviously, to fill that budget gap, and they're looking at multiple ways to get at that structural deficit, and I guess they think that we are a way that can help with that.
Yeah, of course, you look at it with the fact, like I mentioned, that prices on energy of that type is going down. Jobs are going up in the Commonwealth because of it. Something like this is actually it sounds like to cut your nose to spite your face. Wouldn't it be better just to take a look at all expenditures and get rid of the frivolous ones?
Well, Not only that, I mean, you have to make sure you have your fiscal house in order. But in regard to our industry, I mean, we're already paying our quote-unquote fair share. And let us not lose sight of the fact of all the jobs that this industry has brought to the state. 339,000 jobs are supported by the oil and natural gas industry in Pennsylvania. So that's not just your direct jobs and your indirect jobs. It's also your induced jobs. And what I mean by that is that you have to take a look at that supply chain. You've got to take a look at the over 1,300 companies that support just the upstream side of the business in Pennsylvania. And these are small, mid-sized companies that are supplying and providing a service in some way to the oil and natural gas industry. And that's really where the impact would be. I mean, you start adding on and piling on more taxes, that is going to have a crippling effect on jobs in Pennsylvania and also on the revenue that's currently coming into the Commonwealth because of this increased activity. So you're not just hurting the producers, you're hurting all of those companies that now have expanded or have or come to be because of this industry.
Yeah, and the fact is that you bring up about hurting the companies. You hurt a company, you hurt the employees lose their jobs. Proposed job loss because of something like this. Do we have something, any figures, any projections along that line, what it would cost?
Not exactly what it would cost, but what we can tell you, though, is, hey, I mean, if you want less of something, tax it. I mean, that's just the reality. And what this industry has brought to the state already, I mean, here's an industry that came in not asking for anything from the government, didn't ask for subsidies, didn't ask for tax credits, came in, started paying their taxes, and created jobs along the way. So, you know, what it's meant to the economy and the GDP and the revenue coming into the Commonwealth and jobs in general has been phenomenal. I mean, look at the shale revolution across the country, and Pennsylvania truly is in the sweet spot here with the Marcellus Shale and now the Utica Shale coming online here. So really, it is short-sighted to think that enacting yet another tax on this industry would be beneficial. Because let me put it to you like this. Companies they are competing for capital internally at the companies there, because many of these companies are integrated companies. They are doing business around the world and around the United States. And the Marcellus Shale is not the only shale play in the country or around the world. So bottom line, these companies are going to take a look at this, and if it's not economically viable to do business in Pennsylvania, then they will move elsewhere. They will develop resources in areas where it is more economically feasible.
Stephanie, what would you say to our listeners who want to do something about this proposal by Wolf? What can they do?
What they can do is talk to their legislators, talk to Governor-elect Wolf, and tell him why a tax would be detrimental to the energy revolution that we're realizing here in Pennsylvania. And it's ultimately the goal of Pennsylvanians and Americans alike are to be energy secure. So take a look at oil prices. I think that was talked about earlier in this interview. Take a look at that. The reason why you're seeing lower oil prices is because of the shale revolution, because America is producing record amounts right now. You put more supply into the marketplace, that puts downward pressure on prices. I mean, also take a look at this stat. First of all, we are number one. The United States is number one in natural gas production, surpassing Russia. Two, America is number one in petroleum refining in the world. And number three, we have this unique opportunity to continue down the path of ultimately being the number one oil producer in the world in as short as next year.
Yeah, Stephanie, Stephanie, I find this very interesting is that you hear the campaign rhetoric out of these people that seek offices that we hire them to through the electoral process about gaining our independence from foreign oil. And when those opportunities for independence from foreign oil that come about, these same individuals then step in with wanting to raise taxes and do things and throw up barricades to hinder or even at times stop that. You mentioned the amount of jobs that it's created. Could you remind our listeners once more how many jobs this industry in the Commonwealth had created?
Sure. What it comes down to is 339,000 jobs are supported by the oil and natural gas industry. So whether that's a direct job, if you have a job on the drill site, at the well site, if you're an engineer, if you've got a job at the actual site itself, all the way down to the caterer, let's say a catering company that's catering a particular company's lunches, you know, the manufacturer that is making the widgets that you need at the job site. It's all those kinds of jobs. So it's just not the direct jobs we're talking about here. We're talking about the supply chain. We're talking about those small and mid-sized companies that are supporting this industry as well. So total, this is from wellhead to the gas station, 339,000 jobs are supported in Pennsylvania by the oil and natural gas industry.
Stephanie, we know you're pressed for time, and we thank you so much for being able to talk to us today on WFYL. You are the executive director of the Associated Petroleum Industries of Pennsylvania. How can our listeners find out more about your organization?
Yes, I would actually have them go to our website, which is www.api.org.
Thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Thanks so much. Corinne and Bruce, have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. What a great interview we had yesterday with her.
Yeah, we did.
She had to call in, and she had limited time, but that was Stephanie Caterina Wissman, the executive director of the Associated Petroleum Industries of Pennsylvania, really working to educate the people and to let us know how what we can do, informing us what we can do to help to help this. So
yeah, and it is a big issue what we were talking about, because when it comes down to his jobs, and I thought she was very good at articulating the fact that what are the jobs? You know, it's more than just the people sinking the well and operating the well. It's all the support, what's called support services that come in there. And, you know, I had to repeat it twice, is the numbers of jobs it created. And like most Democrats that come in, they're job killers. And what Wolf is proposing is a job killer again. Mm-hmm. What's the point in that? And nobody can answer the fact what's driving force behind that.
We've got to head to a commercial break, but we will be right back after this news segment. So stay right there.